My name is Garland Robinson. In order for one to be a good Bible student, there must be a love of the truth. An individual must desire to study the Bible, to know the will of God. We must have a passion to know the truth. And in the process, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, that every word in every book and every chapter is inspired of God. But when we learn the truth, there must be a willingness to accept the truth. We can't have a closed mind. We need to open up our mind. We need to free our mind from all preconceived ideas. That is, we cannot have our mind made up ahead of time and then turn to the Bible and try to find what God wants us to do. We have to be persistent in it. You know, there are some things harder to be understood. It takes more time to study those things. More time is involved in properly comprehending the Scriptures. The Bible is not just a novel. It's not something we sit down and it's easy to read and we can enjoy it with pleasure and each and everything. Well, the Bible is enjoyable to read, and it is easy in many places, but there are some places that it's not as easy, and it requires more than just a casual glance, a quick and hurried thumbing through its pages. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 about some things the Apostle Paul had written. We read where Peter said, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So here even Peter recognized some of the things Paul said and wrote were harder to understand. Now, he didn't say impossible. He didn't say that we could not know and what the will of the Lord is, but there are more difficult things. And the Bible mentions this in other areas. For example, in Hebrews chapter 5, we read about there were some who had been Christians long enough that they should have now been teaching the gospel themselves. But they had need that one would go back and teach them the things which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The Bible says there these individuals had need that someone would spoon feed them or bottle feed them with milk and not with strong meat. We recognize that in a child, a baby, you just do not begin to feed them off the table, but they have to have the mother's milk. And then when they've had that for a sufficient period of time, they graduate to perhaps some cereal and then chopped up or mashed things from the table. Then finally one day they have teeth and they can eat on their own. Well, there's a spiritual thing that needs to be understood there also. There are things in the Bible that are easier to understand, things that there's no way someone could miss it, but yet some people still do. And the reason they do is because they've got their mind made up in another direction. They go to the Bible thinking that this is true or that is true, or they're going to find this or that. And so when they turn to the pages, they convince themselves that that's what they have found. But we need to have an open mind. Rid our mind of whatever it is that we have made up about it and that we're going to find this or that. We need to be spiritually minded and keep on digging. Keep on getting in there. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If the Lord's recommendation was to search the Scriptures, then that same word ought to be true for us even now. We need to learn the Bible, search them, compare, study in every way. We find the same thing mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Notice again the words of this passage, "study to show thyself approved." The word "study" means to give diligence. It involves a certain criteria. It involves a determined effort that we just don't read it and pass over it. You know, there obviously are some words in the Bible that we do not use every day. They're not normally a part of our vocabulary, and so it would be good to have a dictionary. You know, a Webster's dictionary will work wonders on the meanings of words. If you don't understand a word, don't just skip over it. Don't just haphazardly say, well, I don't know what that word is, I don't know how to pronounce that, and go on, because you're going to miss some of the rich, great teaching from the Scriptures. Look up that word. But then we also need to recognize that Webster's not going to help us on all the words, because some words are unique to the Bible. Some words have a different meaning now than they once did. For example, the word baptism. You look up the word baptism in Webster's and you'll find that it can mean immersion or sprinkling or pouring. But when you learn from the Scriptures that sprinkling is not allowed, pouring is not allowed. In the Bible, the word baptism meant immersion, dipping, plunging in water, and that's all that it meant. It would not allow something else. So, even though Webster's would help us a great deal, we do need to be aware that we need to compare the Greek meanings, and there are many good Greek dictionaries that we can find and profit from. You don't have to know Greek, don't have to be schooled in Greek, don't have to be able to read Greek. There are many English versions of this that would tell us that the word study in this particular passage says the Greek meaning means to give diligence. That would not only involve studying, searching, comparing, digging, meditating, but it would involve so many other areas of life, of which study is only one of them. So the goal is that we would stand approved of God. We want to be right in God's sight. We want to be a worker that needeth not to be ashamed. That's what the word says. And he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The phrase rightly dividing means that we would handle it correctly. Again, we must make sure that what we understand from the Scriptures is as God intended for it to be. That we have not misused it, we have not twisted it or wrangled it around to mean something that it doesn't mean. That is, also, we need to understand that whatever we understand one passage to mean, it cannot conflict or contradict any other passage. The Bible is a perfect book. It is beautiful in harmony and unity with itself. So, if I make one passage conflict with another passage, then one thing for certain is true. I have missed it somewhere. I either have the wrong meaning of one passage or the other passage, but I need to dig a little deeper. I need to study a little bit harder. And that's what makes one a good Bible student, to be persistent. Study, compare, dig. That is invaluable. We need to make sure we learn that. But then also, in order for one to be a good Bible student, we need to have great courage. You know, it takes courage to leave something you've always thought was right when you learn that it's wrong. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, words were spoken to the children of Israel as they were entering into the land of Canaan. The word says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Here the Scripture was simply saying, these men and women, these families, the children of God, need to have great courage. They were going into the unknown. They may have been fearful of certain things there. And he says, you need to know God's on your side. God is with you. Don't fear. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." You know, the pressure of friends and family is great, isn't it? But we must do what is right regardless. So if I'm going to be a good Bible student, I need to learn the truth, but then I need to have courage to live the truth. Even when family is involved or friends are involved, I've still got to do what the Word says, because that's where God has commanded me to live. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39, the Lord said, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foal shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, what strong words those are from Jesus Christ our Lord. He recognized that following Him and God is the supreme choice. Even when family conflicts, if mother or father, if son or daughter, if brother or sister, or whoever it may be, when I have to make a choice whether to obey God or to be in good friendship with family, then I have to choose to obey God. Saul of Tarsus is a man of great courage here. Think about that he left everything that he knew. He had been schooled in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. He had a man of great promise. Oh, he could have gone far as the world was concerned, but when he learned he was wrong, when he learned he could not follow God and keep up with society, then he chose to follow God. In Acts chapter 26, we read beginning in verse 4, that my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. He said, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He started out in great promise as far as the Jews were concerned, but he abandoned it all because he had the courage to obey what he had learned. Friend, you need that same courage. I need that same courage. Everyone does. That whatever we find in the Word of God, if that conflicts with what we've always believed, if that conflicts with where I go to church, if that conflicts with family member and friends, well, I'm sorry, but if we're going to obey God, if we expect to go to heaven when we die, then we're going to have to obey God. That's the point. And abandon where we go to church. We're going to have to leave family, leave them behind. Not that we don't love them, that we don't care for them, but surely we ought to be able to show them and teach them, look what we have found. We've been wrong about this. We've got to change our heart, our mind, our lives. We've got to change our action and now begin to obey God. Oh, that takes courage, doesn't it? A great deal of courage to obey God. But if I'm going to be a good Bible student, that's exactly what I have to do. I've got to be able to reason and use logic and to search the Scriptures and compare and study to make sure these things are so. That's what Paul did. We find in Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Friend, we invite you to become a better Bible student. This has been Garland Robinson, and appreciate you joining us today.